The only hope for this lot would be, God, if you gave your spirit to every single one of them. There's about a million. It's as if you went into an area that was marked by severe poverty. And touched by the need, you say, oh, that everyone would be a millionaire.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm David Pick, and Colin, with an introduction like that, I think you'll have to explain what we just heard.
Well, I'm in the middle of the story of Moses, where all the people are grumbling and complaining, and he can't do any good and all the rest of it. And Moses gets absolutely exasperated, and he comes to God and he says, oh, that you would pour out your spirit on them. The Holy Spirit, of course, at that time, only given to a very few people. And here's this vast crowd, and Moses is saying, you know, the only solution is pour out your spirit on the whole lot. I think that was unimaginable to Moses. But hundreds of years later, you have the Lord saying through Joel, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. And of course, that's wonderfully fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And the heart of being a Christian is that in coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God gives that person His Holy Spirit. No such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And so this is a wonderful part of the Bible story, and it's a marvelous story of how God has fulfilled His promise, and it gets to the heart of the gospel.
And we're going to see that today in the book of Joel. So if you can, why not join us there in chapter 2 and verse 28 as we begin the message, A Faith That Is More Than Believing. Here's Colin.
We're returning today to the book of Joel. Last week, a wonderful promise that we heard. God says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And today we're going to look at an even more wonderful promise that is given in the same chapter. We're especially looking at verse 28 and verse 29 of Joel and chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I want us to see this wonderful promise that will be familiar to many of us, of course. I want us to see it in the broader sweep of the Bible story. And so we're going to look at three places in the Bible. First, we're going to look at the promise of the Spirit anticipated by a prayer of Moses, that's back in the book of Numbers. Then we'll come to the book of Joel secondly and see how what Moses prayed for was promised through the prophet Joel. And then we'll move forward to the book of Acts and see how what Moses prayed for and was promised through Joel was fulfilled through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. So would you turn back with me now then to Numbers and chapter 11? I might put the worship folder in Joel because we're coming back there. But Numbers and chapter 11 is where we have our first, as it were, stopping point today. I want us to look at the spirit anticipated in the prayer of Moses. Let me just walk you through this story very briefly. God has brought his people out of Egypt. He has made a covenant with them. You will be my people and I will be your God. And he is leading them through the desert towards the promised land. Because there is not food in the desert, he provides for them every day by a miracle of grace, manna, like a kind of seed that is found on the ground when they get up. It's the provision of God for them miraculously every day. And so these people are wonderfully blessed, but they were not very happy. And it's remarkable how God's people, though we are blessed in so many ways, can sometimes be so very unhappy and unsettled. And you find this in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 11. The people complained, that's really the key word of this story, they're complaining in the hearing of the Lord. So God's listening every time you complain. And in the hearing of the Lord, they complained about their misfortunes. And you get the feel of this complaining from verse 5, where they say, you know, they've got the manna, seed-like substance, and they're not satisfied with that. So they say, oh, that we had meat to eat. And then, this makes me smile, it might make you smile too. They say, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, Well, of course it costs nothing because they were slaves. They didn't have any cash. They were never paid. So all that happened because they were slaves was they were tossed a few scraps of fish to keep body and soul together, keep them working. But the only thing they remember is because they had no economic means and they're slaves, they say, well, we never paid anything for this. You know, it didn't cost anything. It's amazing how hindsight distance enhances the view. And they go on with this marvelously idealized picture of this wonderful life in Egypt, completely forgetting the realities of it. And they talk about the cucumbers, verse 5, the melons, oh, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. I mean, I don't know why they got so excited about garlic, but this was the state of mind. And whatever we don't have is what we want. And now our strength is dried up, verse 5, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. What a way to refer to the provision of God, to dismiss it and to esteem it only in this way. And Moses gets to the point, which you can understand, where he has just about had enough of these people who are so difficult to lead. And so verse 11, Moses says to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servant? That's with Moses himself. Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? And then he really lets go. Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give to their fathers? I mean, Moses must have had a really bad day in the office to speak to Almighty God in this way. But he's at the end of him. I can't take any more. What do I do with this crowd? And the Lord has compassion on Moses in verse 16. He tells Moses to gather 70 men from among the elders of Israel. And verse 17, I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit, capital S, that is on you and put it on them, on the 70, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you so that you may not bear it yourself alone. There's a wonderful provision of God to help Moses. And so now Moses has some helpers, and not just some helpers, he has 70 helpers, and God gives to these 70, the 70 elders, a portion of the Spirit of God that has been and is upon Moses. And you know what happens next? The people have been complaining about Moses, and now he has 70 helpers, so they complain about the 70 helpers. And the Spirit has been given to two of these men, two of the 70, are in verse 26, Eldad and Medad. And because the Spirit is on them, we're told they were prophesying. And the people complain about this. You know, Eldad and Medad, who do they think they are? And why are they doing this? And they complain, and they come to complain to Moses, complaining that the Spirit of the Lord is on these two men. And Moses' response to this is in verse 29. And this is the point here of this story. Verse 29. Complaining that the Spirit of God is on Eldad and Medad, just two men. Would, says Moses, that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. And you see the force of what he's saying. Here are all these people, and they bear the name of the Lord, and they profess faith. They have had experiences of being delivered. But they are habitual complainers. They are self-absorbed. They are thoroughly ungrateful for the blessing of God that they continue to receive every day. And putting 70 spiritually gifted elders over them doesn't solve the problem. And Moses again is at the end of himself. And what can be done about this? And he says, in effect, the only hope for this lot would be, God, if you gave your Spirit to every single one of them. And there's about a million. And I'll tell you what that's like. That's kind of like going in, at this point in the Bible story, it's as if you went into an area that was marked by severe poverty. And touched by the need, you say, oh, that everyone would be a millionaire. And even as you say it, you think, well, it would transform everything here if that was the case, but of course it'll never happen. But Moses has this kind of wistfulness here. Here's this crowd, and they're almost unleadable. But if they were all filled with the Spirit, it would be different. You've given the Spirit just a 70, but if they were all filled with the Spirit, they wouldn't constantly be complaining, and they wouldn't constantly be so self-absorbed, and they wouldn't be so ungrateful. If only. But this is telling us something very important about what God had given and what God had not yet given at this point in the Bible's story. In Old Testament times, the Spirit was given only to a few and only for particular spheres of service. The list actually is very interesting. For example, we're told that the Spirit of God was given to a man called Bezalel, who was a craftsman. He was working on the furnishings for the tabernacle, and the scripture says in Exodus 31, God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God and all craftsmanship. So his very craftsman, he was given the Spirit for crafting in wood and in stone the furnishings of the tabernacle. Fascinating. The Spirit was given to judges like Othniel. The Spirit of the Lord was on him. Or warriors like Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord clothed him. The Spirit of God was given to prophets for their particular task. Messengers come from Saul. The Spirit of God comes upon them and they're able to prophesy. And of course, the Spirit of God was given to kings, godly kings. Men like David, who you remember after he sinned grievously and prays in Psalm 51, he says this, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So he knew that he had experience of the Holy Spirit of God given to him for his particular task of being a king. So there was a kind of aristocracy of the Spirit in the Old Testament. Some people for some particular purposes, but not all. The Spirit of God given to a chosen few. And Moses utters this prayer, this cry almost that comes out of his difficulties of trying to lead this incorrigible group of people. And he's saying, if only God, you would give your Spirit to all of them, that would make all the difference in the world. Because without your Spirit being given to all of them, this vast crowd just becomes a rabble. And they're almost unleadable. And that's the force of the prayer in Numbers and chapter 11. So I'm calling that the Spirit anticipated in the prayer of Moses.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Faith That Is More Than Believing. It's part of our series, Restored, based on the book of Joel. And if you've missed any of the series, come to our website, openthebible.org.uk. There you can go back and listen again or catch up to any of the programs you might have missed. That's openthebible.org.uk. Back to the message now. Here's Colin.
Now turn back to Joel and you'll see the significance of this perhaps more clearly. Joel in chapter 2. As we know, they look secondly at this Spirit promised through the prophet Joel. Now, if you've got back to Joel chapter 2, you can help me with the key word here. Notice it. And it shall come to pass afterward. So what that means is this promise is being given for future generations beyond the time of Joel, which is already hundreds of years after Moses. It shall come to pass at some point in the future afterward, God says that I will pour out my Spirit on, notice the word, say it with me, all flesh. That's what Moses would have longed for, would have loved to see back in the desert, but never saw. And here's what will happen. When the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants in those days. I will pour out my Spirit. So here is something in the unfolding story of the Bible that is completely new. Something Moses longed for but could hardly have imagined. Something that is now being promised, and it's being promised for a future time. But God is giving this promise, giving his people hope for the future through the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, all people, not a privileged few, all of God's people. And Joel spells this out. What does all mean? Well, all means all of God's people, sons and daughters. So the gift of the Spirit will not be limited by gender. Old men and young men. So the gift of the Spirit will not be limited by age. It won't be a gift that only comes when you've been a Christian for 40 years or whatever. Servants. So the gift of the Spirit will not be limited by social status or achievement in this world. All my people. And notice what God says will happen when the Spirit is poured out. It gives us the evidence of the presence of the Spirit in people's lives. Three things. Number one, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's what will happen when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Now, to prophesy, here's a simple definition. To prophesy is simply to be prompted by God to speak the right word at the right time in the right way. To be prompted by God to speak the right word, the right time, in the right way. And many of you know about this from your own experience, and perhaps you've just not thought about it in this way, but it happens multiple times among God's people. It's very wonderful. It may happen out in the foyer, may happen in the course of the sermon even. Someone says something to you, and what they say to you is just what you needed to hear. And it's so what you needed to hear that your only conclusion is that God had prompted them in a very special way to say it to you. And it felt like a gift from the Lord that they said that in that way and at that particular time. You go out from the service and you say, God had something for me today and it was very special. That's part of the work of the Spirit. And it happens in our private conversations. God may be the means of you saying something really helpful before you've left this building today to another brother or sister, and you may not know just how helpful it really was. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out, this is the sort of thing that happens among the people of God. And it happens not only in our informal conversations, it happens within our structures of ministry. I thank God for all the times when I've had the experience, and many of you know about this. You're in ministry, you're working with a team, and there's some question that the team's wrestling with. Should we do this? Should we do that? And there's all the different options. And you go around in circles and long discussion. And then somewhere an hour and a half into the meeting, someone who's been sitting quite quietly and absorbing this says, you know, I think that the nub of this is this. And I think that what we should be looking at is doing that. And when that person says that, there's a sense right throughout the room of, that's exactly right. That's what we need to do. And everyone has the sense of that. And then the next thing you think is, why did you not say that an hour ago? We've been going round and round and round in circles. But what you said is like a gift of the Lord to the whole group. We know what we're doing now. We got it. And only God could have prompted that. And you're just so thankful. And it's not the same person who does it every time, because it's not like this is a possession. It's simply that as people are walking with God, God uses his people in wonderful ways to prompt the things that need to be said in the right way at the right time for advancing God's wonderful purpose. Let me quote to you Lloyd Ogilvie. Many of you will recall that he was for some time the chaplain at the Senate, and for many years was a very distinguished pastor. And writing during his years as a pastor of a congregation, he says this, "The most dynamic one-to-one evangelists in my congregation are those who ask for and receive the gift of prophecy. They do not have canned monologues to bore people." In other words, they don't have a rehearsed script of, here's what I have to say and I'm going to give it to you. Rather, they know how to listen, to care, to empathize with love. The Spirit gives them insight about what to say, the timing of when to say it, and boldness to be honest, personal, and incisive in helping people to respond. And he said, that's a gift. That's God who does that. And the people who are most useful in advancing the gospel, in personal evangelism, they pray for this, and God gives it to them. And it's wonderful. Now, when the Spirit is poured out, this is what Joel is saying. This is what happens. This is what it looks like in the life of a congregation. And not only that, that's the first thing. Here's the second. Your old men shall dream dreams. So here are hope-filled seniors. Marvelous. And this has to be a work of God's Holy Spirit, because we all know that as we get older, it is easy to become more negative. Life seems to move away from us as we get older, and it's easy to kind of slide into a self-pity and a sort of feeling that nothing will ever be as good as it was when we were the ones who were doing it. But here you have hope-filled seniors, older saints who are dreaming dreams. What does that mean? It means older saints who are filled with confidence with regards to what God can do on earth and filled with growing anticipation of what God has prepared in heaven. And along with that, when the Spirit is outpoured, not only do you have hope-filled seniors, but young men shall see visions. So here we have mission-focused youngsters, a new generation rising up. And again, this is God's a work of God's Spirit, that young people have a passion and a sense of mission and vision. They see visions. And you put these two things together, and there's a Spirit-filled church. And Joel says, this is what it's going to be like, the Spirit being poured out, not on a few, not just on the staff or the pastors or the elders, but on the congregation. And when it happens, this is what it looks like. You get hope filled seniors, and you get young men seeing visions, a younger generation that is being moved beyond the trivia and going for life that is sold out for Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, looking today at the prayer of Moses and how the Spirit is promised through the book of Joel. Next time, we'll see how the Spirit is given through the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can know more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I hope you'll join us for that. Our message is called A Faith That Is More Than Believing, and it's part of our series Restored, all about the book of Joel. And if you've missed any of the series, you can always go back and listen again or catch up online at our website, openthebible.org.uk. You can also find our messages as a podcast. That may be a more convenient way for you to listen to Pastor Colin's messages. And you can find those on your regular podcasting site or through a link on the website. Just subscribe to the podcast to receive regular updates. Open the Bible is supported entirely by our listeners. It's people just like you who keep us on the radio and our website. And if you've been considering supporting Open the Bible financially, this month we'd like to thank you for setting up a new donation to Open the Bible in the amount of £5 per month or more by sending you the Heaven Pack. That includes Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, Pastor Colin Smith's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and 5 copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure of Heaven, to give away to people who may be curious about heaven. Colin, how will people be helped by reading Heaven, How I Got Here?
Well, I'm laughing because I think that my book on the thief on the cross is going to look very small beside Randy Alcorn's 500-page book on heaven, which is an absolute classic. But, you know, books can be used in different ways. And so Randy Alcorn's is a book that you'll want to have in your home and you'll go back to many, many times. You'll look up the questions that he addresses. There's over 40 of them in relation to heaven, and that's really helpful. Heaven, How I Got Here, you'll use in an entirely different way. It's a small book, very easy to read, and it tells the story of the thief on the cross in the first person. And the mission of the book, the reason for writing it, is that this story really explains grace better than any story that I know or could think of. Many people have the idea that if you're going to get into heaven, you'll do that by living a good enough life. And obviously the thief on the cross didn't do that, and he did get into heaven, and he got there by God's grace. So for anyone who needs to grasp what the grace of God is, this is a very simple story that explains that. And so this is a book that you can read and enjoy, and I hope a book that you'll think about passing on to a friend who needs to discover God's grace.
Well, the Heaven Pack is our gift to you if you're able to set up a new donation to the work of Open the Bible this month in the amount of £5 per month or more. For Open the Bible and Pastor Colin Smith, I'm David Pick, and I hope you'll be able to join us again soon. Imagine going to a church where people are ungrateful and self-absorbed, or going to another church where people are thankful and praising God. Find out what makes the difference next time on Open the Bible.